Good evening, councillors and staff and members of the public. I declare the General Council meeting open. I begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people, who are the traditional custodians of this land. We pay our respects to their elders past and present. I let everyone know that the audio of this General Council meeting will be recorded and will be made available on the City of Marion website once the minutes have been checked. I ask elected members if they foreshadow any item of conflict of interest on the agenda. Councillor Telfer.
I have a perceived conflict of interest in my footpath in my street at the other end may be developed. So I'm intending to stay in the room as it has no material impact on me.
Thank you. We'll refer to that again when we come to the budget item. Councillor Schilling.
Yep, I believe I have a actual conflict of interest with confidential item with regards to city services, as it will come to CAP, and I'm the CAP member for council. I have a question about budget items.
Yes, carry on.
I just have a question about budget items. They're all classes, a substantial class, correct?
Well, just about everything, if it's a footpath or a reserve or something.
So with the rate rebate item, I noticed my employer appears in that. Am I exempt from that or do I need to declare a conflict?
Sounds like it might be a perceived conflict if they're mentioned specifically, but I'll ask Ms. McKenzie, Governance Officer, to advise. Manager, I should say.
Through the chair. Does it have, sorry, without looking at the item specifically, how many are in that class that are named? Do you know?
There's quite a few in these. I think it's the 75% rebate.
Yeah.
It's quite a number of schools. However, the school I'm employed by is mentioned.
Yes. I think the advice we've provided so far is that it is still a substantial class on the basis that it is being applied to several agencies. And I think from memory, it was in the total, it's in that category, it was over 3,000 people. Is that correct?
I think so. I don't know how many people would be employed at all those benefit. Mm. I'm happy to declare a perceived conflict of interest on the rate rebate item, but I will stay in the room.
Thank you. I think that's probably the best course of action there. Councillor Valescu.
Yeah, I have a perceived conflict of interest because of the rate capping. My property has finally gone up in value and it is likely to fall into that category where I do receive some rate capping. I've spoken to governance about it. They advise it's a substantial class based on the thousands of people. So I will stay in the room, but if anyone is moving anything in regards to reducing that, I would advise them to do it as a separate item. Otherwise, I won't be able to vote on the budget.
Right. We'll cross that bridge as well when we come to the budget, but thanks for the advice. If there's no one else, we'll keep going. Would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes of the last meeting? Moved Councillor Gard, seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour, raise your hand. Yeah, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. There's an opportunity now for any elected member verbal reports, if anyone wishes to. Councillor Hull.
Just quickly, Mr. Mayor, news yesterday from the new South Australian government of introducing legislation to get rid of paid car parking. That is, some members might remember who have been long-serving councillors that Marion Council engaged in quite lengthy and expensive court case to try and stop the approval of paid car parking at Westfield Marion. We were unsuccessful, of course. So they have had planning approval for a number of years to actually do that. And I'm quite encouraged by the government's endeavours to stop that. Just very briefly, with the ward that Councillor Pryor and I represent, paid car parking brings about substantial issues in the surrounding streets because some people will do all sorts of things to avoid the prospect of paying anything for parking, and that would impact on many, many residents around the periphery of Westfield Marion. So just thought I'd avail council to my support for the new South Australian government in that regard.
Thank you, Councillor Schilling.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just want to acknowledge our staff for Mitchell Park. We had a great opening on the weekend, which majority of councillors attended. It was a fantastic. And there were a lot of thank yous to a lot of politicians and to council and stuff, which is great. But I really think staff weren't acknowledged as much as they could be. So I really just want to acknowledge our staff, in particular Birgit, who was the project manager for that project. She did really well. And it was a great day, and that facility is going to be fantastic for the future.
Thanks for your comments, Councillor Telfer.
And I'd like to reiterate my thanks to staff and volunteers for their hard work at Mitchell Park.
Thank you. And I offered those thanks on the day, so I won't repeat that now. Any other councillors? Then we can move on to... Yeah, we just need to, with the written reports that are also in the agenda, Councillor Hutchinson moving that all of those reports are accepted, seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour, that's carried unanimously. Right, we're on to page 22, where there's a petition to deal with. I'm just floating this idea, but the petition item and the next two items concerning the land management plan across the road and the ice rink proposal to grant a lease, they are all essentially concerning the same subject matter. So I think they could be moved en bloc, but I'll leave it up to you. I mean, I'll give a certain latitude to people speaking about any aspect of the consultation or the other matters, if anyone wants to do that. So, there's a deputation, deputation first, so that would be best to deal with that, and then we'll get to motion. So I've got Ms. Laura Galdes. So could you please come forward? We've got a spot for you up here at the front, and Mr. Harrison, our Chief Executive, will just instruct you simply how to work the microphone, just a matter of pressing a button, and you'd know that you have 5 minutes. If you finish earlier, that will help with time for questions, and otherwise it's up to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm here today to voice my concerns about the proposed changes to the Marion Community Land Management Plan and 42-year lease allowing construction of the ice arena at 262A Sturt Road, Marion. The choice for me to make a deputation tonight was not taken lightly, as I do not enjoy public speaking. However, this matter was so important to me, I felt I needed to stand in front of my elected members, or sit, and share my own and my neighbours' concerns about this proposal. Our tight-knit community consists of many young families, single households, and elderly people who value a quiet street and a peaceful living environment. And we ask that you please help us to preserve our existing neighbourhood. Many residents in close proximity to this site are concerned about the impact that this proposal will have on our area. Some of the key issues that I have in regard to this proposal include parking issues and traffic congestion. Parking restrictions already exist on Douglas Street and Shelley Avenue and Finch Street, as there is limited parking, illegal parking, and visitors outside of the area using our space, this space. Our streets are congested due to the gym, shopping centre, and many additional housing developments. I also anticipate additional development and townhouses occurring in Shelley Avenue in the future, adding further pressure to the situation. These existing parking issues will only get worse with an ice arena, and the roads will become unsafe to use. I understand a commitment has been made to not allow access to Shelley Avenue. However, I believe visitors will still park on our streets and walk to the site to avoid congested Sturt Road. I'm concerned this proposal will not adequately address the matter of parking, as the development requirement for this site is to satisfactory traffic and parking solutions only. Please tell me where the 450 spectators attending this site will park. undesirable changes to our streetscape. The feel, livability and environment of our suburban streets will be drastically changed by introducing a large commercial building. Community safety concerns. I fear that there will be an increased visitors, foot traffic, a disruption to the area by it becoming a fire affair, or from people loitering in the car parking area, which may lead to crime and antisocial behaviour. This will be particularly relevant if the arena holds entertainment activities and operates outside of 9 till 5. Noise and lighting pollution. Concerns exist that there will be bright lighting, noisy fans, air conditioning and equipment present at the site to maintain an ice arena and cool the facility, which will cause disruption to close by residents. This will not be a council-owned and maintained facility. It is my understanding that council will not be responsible for this site under the lease. And if there are any concerns at the site, we cannot seek support from council to resolve them. Removal of current open and green space and natural features. The existing green space that is present defines the outer boundary of the metropolitan area and helps to separate us from the busy commercial zone, which will be replaced with huge commercial building, providing no separation between residential and commercial zones. Removing open space and greenery does not support council's strategic direction of valuing nature and creating livable spaces. Concerns over the layout and operation activity of the site. I note that a detailed site plan has not yet been provided to residents. If this proposal does go ahead, further consultation on the operations, building location, layout, parking and lighting should be conducted with residents. I believe we should preserve the land as community and recreational land and not make changes to allow commercial activity to be built on this site. I believe the intent of the decision to make this land community land was for community-based, low-cost activities to occur, not paid commercial activities. Community land and open space is such a valuable resource for a community to have, and is ever so important with reducing land sizes, smaller backyards and additional high density living that the council has approved in this area. Whilst I acknowledge an ice arena could be a good opportunity for the southern suburbs, I believe the proposed location and surrounding infrastructure is not suitable to house this facility. I believe the arena has very few benefits for people, the residents actually living in this area, and too many risks exist at this site for this to be a viable proposal, which is why other sites should be investigated. I ask that when you vote on this matter, that you please consider all of the risks and opportunities surrounding this proposal, and please consider the well-being of the residents who look at this site every day when they step outside their front doors. I thank you for your time and for providing me the opportunity to present to you this evening.
Thank you. It does occur to me, thanks for your words, Ms. Geldes, but it does occur to me that it would be useful to hear from either Mr. Delacombes or Mr. Harrison about the planning application aspect of this, if it moves forward. But before we get to that, any questions from councillors? Councillor Hull?
Thank you, Ms. Geldes, for coming along to talk to us. If council was to actually stick to our guns, as Councillor Telfer and myself moved last time to stop the vehicular access, what if we took the extra step to stop pedestrian access through there as well, which would mean that nobody would have any reasonable reason to park there? Would that help?
I mean, ultimately we don't want it, but if it was to go ahead, it would assist and, yeah, it would help by stopping all access. But there already is an access point from Shelley Avenue that exists to the sports club area car park, so that would be closing it up. I don't know if that's a possibility, but...
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, another question, if I may.
Yes, factual questions are fine. Thank you.
Yeah. You've already alluded to this, Mr. Mayor, by asking Mr. Delacombes to come along, but would you appreciate that a lot of the concerns raised by yourself and many others is the devil's in the detail, and the detail we don't have in terms of the planning application?
It is about the detail, but it's also about, I think, the community feel, and it's about something that's a community space being taken away. I guess the details do matter, like they will impact us, the parking, the lighting, the noise, and it would be good to be included in that if it is going to head and it's not going to be stopped, then yes, the community should be consulted on these matters. But I understand there's different approval processes, so if it is going to go ahead, the planning process chosen, we would hope, would consult the community on these aspects and not have broad comments like satisfactory parking and traffic solutions, because what does that mean?
And one last question, if I may.
Last question, thanks.
Do you appreciate that as of fairly recently, the EPA, it's a bit of cost shifting going on, and I believe you might work in local government, the EPA has actually vested with council the responsibility of regulating noise complaints. So going forward, the Marion Council, do you agree the Marion Council would have a fairly significant role in helping residents if that was to eventuate?
I don't think my personal information really needs to be discussed. I'm here as a resident.
That's all right, Ms. Geldes. I think the intent of the question was probably to provide some information, but we can hear from one of the managers in a moment who'll clarify the planning and regulatory regime.
I mean, hopefully, yes, Marion Council, the staff, they are a resource that we could go to if we have concerns or issues and obviously complaints. But I mean, as we all know, all these things can, if we would like to try and stop some of these issues before they start, but why approve something when we know there might be issues? Let's try and stop it before it happens.
Well, thank you. I'll invite you, Ms. Geldes, to take your place in the public gallery again. Now, Mr. Harrison, I'm not sure if you want to deal with that, or Mr. Della Coombs, who's the manager in charge of the planning and development, etc. I think it'd be useful for all of us, including the petitioners, to just have outlined, even though it's covered in the written report to an extent, just to have that outline given verbally of what the developer must do in terms of a planning application and the sorts of issues that would need to be addressed if we go forward after tonight.
Thank you, Mayor. So through the chair, without seeing obviously the specific development proposal, I can provide council with a general overview. So it's the site's located in the recreation zone, which obviously seeks a range of accessible recreational facilities. It is very likely that the development would be required to undergo public notification, and if receiving reps would therefore be considered by the council assessment panel. We do believe this development could be of a scale that could seek the minister to be the relevant authority. That would be a decision for the eventual developer. The zone seeks high quality landscaped urban realm with built form to achieve high visual amenity, especially along public roads and open space. The buildings should be designed and sited to manage visual impacts and achieve setbacks of at least 8 metres to the public road and allotment zone for residential. Importantly, buildings adjacent residential development should mitigate both impacts of visual massing, i.e. bulk and scale and overshadowing. Buildings near the boundary should be staggered in height to reduce visual impacts. The site is also subject to several traffic related overlays, and depending again on the final design would result in additional requirements and referrals to the Department for Infrastructure and Transport. In addition, to these, the proposal would be subjected to assessment criteria relating to noise, traffic, appropriateness of the use, traffic and access, waste disposal when design, and so on. The design should have architectural merit and short impact on adjacent properties, particularly residential, minimised, and should ensure that the traffic can be accommodated on site, requiring the usual traffic studies in support of the document.
All right, thank you. If members have questions when we get to deal with these items, we can do that. I just want to make one comment in relation to how the council might proceed. I just say that although it's absolutely in council's hands, if you want to block off a thoroughfare, council can make a decision to do that, but you wouldn't normally block off a pedestrian thoroughfare without first consulting the community. Let's proceed with a motion, whether you want to just take the petition motion or all three. Councillor Telfer.
I am happy to move forward with page 25.9.1, page 31.11.1, but I have an extra sentence about our prior resolutions to avoid traffic movements to Shelley Douglas and Christina, and I've given that to staff and emailed it around fairly late in the day.
Thanks, Councillor Telford. Just clarifying, if I may. Mm-hmm. So are you proposing to move two or three of these motions on block?
I'm about to move the third one, which would be 11.2 on page 101.
Right. So you move the three of them on block, yes, but you are moving the middle one, so to speak, with an amended form to reinforce no traffic opening to the neighbouring streets to the west.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's in order, and we have that extra line there on the screen. So you may proceed to speak to it, Councillor.
We're still waiting on the screen for page 102,
11.2. Right. Maybe eventually we'll have all three of them on the screen, or we can't put all three, won't fit all three on the screen. So our staff might need to just switch between the first, second, and third sets of motions speak to them. So I'm just clarifying with staff, the land management plan 11.1 is moved with an amended form, which you've got there on the screen. Okay, I've got different numbering again. My fault. So I won't talk about numbers, but you've got all three of them available to switch to as councillors refer to them. That's amazing. Okay, so Councillor Telford, if you wish to speak to those matters, thank you.
In reading all the comments and the effort that people have put into this, I am aware of the many concerns that come. I weigh them against the community wider interest and benefit. I don't disregard the things that the local people just to the north of the Marion Arena are concerned about. We will mitigate as well as we can for those. But there are a wide group of people out there that are supportive of this. So we have ahead of us a step tonight where we accept the petition. We understand that the community land management is in place but changed, and that we are going forward with a 42-year lease to allow the developer to move forward. And we understand there'll be another process when we get the actual shape and form of the building. So we look forward to working with the local community and the wider community to allow worthwhile recreation in our midst.
Thank you. Is that seconded by Councillor Hutchinson?
Thank you, Worship. Just building upon Councillor Telford's motion, I do look forward to seeing that detail and seeing appropriate transition and buffer zones around the facility that provides some greater amenity for the surrounding residents.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against? Or I'll take questions first. Councillor Gard.
Thank you, Worship. Members might have seen my email to Mr. Collins this morning regarding the nature of the survey. And I think I'd have to say that...
So, Councillor Gard, rather than opinion, this is the moment for factual questions.
Yes.
Thank you for the
I'm
context.
Coming to that, though. Yep. I am coming to that. The point I'm trying to make is that for something of this scale, there needs to be a thoroughgoing research coverage, and it needs to be significant. So my question is, having said that, how are we proposing to compensate for what I believe to be shortcomings in the research, particularly given the very small number of respondents from the immediate area? Having said that, I personally am in favour of the development, but I'm very troubled by the fact that part of our requirement in getting to this point was to have this consultation. And if the consultation has its shortcomings, then what are we to do about that? That's my first question. I do have a...
Thank you. I'll ask Mr. Marway to come forward as one of our communications managers. He's probably best placed at the moment to comment on that consultation issue.
Thank you. Through the chair, I think I can best answer that by saying we have given community, especially the residents closest to this site, opportunity to have their say and take part in the consultations that were available. And we took every measure we believe we could to inform them that it was happening and give them that opportunity.
All right, well, Councillor Gard might want to follow up on that. Thanks.
Yes, look, I understand, given the way we normally do things, that that is a correct answer or an appropriate answer. But I do conflict with it because I don't believe you're giving enough sample the best opportunity to respond. And the only way that can really be done where you're not getting enough passive response to be significant in such a large-scale exercise is by front foot contact and active contact, and actually put people on the spot to answer yes or no. Now, some of them may decide that they do not wish to participate, but I think a significant number more than you get in a passive survey will respond. And that's so, what I'm getting at.
You're starting to get into debate there, but Mr. Yes. Marway, did you want to respond to, you know, getting enough numbers in the sample, et cetera?
Yeah, look, I think I'll take that as a comment. I think the sample size required for our population would be close to 400 people that we would need to take part for a confidence level of 95%. So I'll take that as a comment. We did have a number of people take part in this consultation, but we weren't at that sort of 380 to 400 mark.
Well, if I can follow up on the same line, given the margin of error relating to the sample that we do have, how does that relate to the survey results?
I think I'm going to take that on notice to make sure I have my facts correct on that.
All right. Councillor Gard, are you allowed one more question?
Yes. Am I allowed one more question on that and then another question on something else, or just one more question?
Because we're taking three items together, I'll give you that latitude. So carry on. That's all right.
It's really an extension, or it's just a reiteration of that first question.
As long as we're dealing with factual questions and inquiries. Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. I'm just repeating that I would like to know how we are to compensate. Surely there is an opportunity to fill the gap of statistical relevance to the exercise by going further. So that was actually my first question. So how do we do that? And then my second question, I might as well put it to save time, is in relation to something completely different, and that is in regard to the purchase of the building at the end of the 42 years. I noticed one respondent made the point that, well, why should we have to do that? Shouldn't that be built into the operator's costs and they deal with that burden at the end? But I'm just interested to know how we would go about that to protect the interests of the city.
Yes, so bearing in mind some aspects might be confidential. In broad terms, that the explanation of the buyback mechanism might be explained by management. But just while we're considering that, is there anything further on the consultation question, Ms. Viotinetti?
Thank you for the question. And through the chair, I just want to point out that when this item was brought to council back in May, we did present council members and the chamber with a draft consultation process, which included notices in the Advertiser and Messenger, sections of the Making Marion website. We had a direct mail out to 507 neighbouring properties, and we actually had a high intense social media presence in posts as well, inviting members. So this strategy we took was quite an intense strategy. So I just wanted to just highlight that. And it was something that was endorsed by members at the when this item was raised in May.
All right, let's switch to the question about what may or may not happen at the end of the lease period, Mr. Harrison.
Thank you, through the chair. Just conscious of the fact that we're still negotiating and waiting to conclude the confirmation of the lease, but I can confirm there is explicit and precise details relating to making good the site at the termination of the 42 years if there was not a renewal offered or taken up through that process. So that is detailed in the draft document at the moment.
Councillor, we're dealing with questions now. Councillor Crossland, then Councillor Valescu.
Mine's just on the lease process. Now, normally we sign the lease when the building's complete, but this is obviously a different circumstances. My question is, how does that lease work when there is no planning permission? We haven't done a traffic study. Is that factored in? And is there another opportunity for elected members to have a say on the lease, or are we pretty much saying whatever the lease is, we agree to it tonight?
Mr. Harrison.
It's not the case we're agreeing to it tonight at all. We have provided a draft and we're waiting for confirmation of the details from the proponent. We have certainly incorporated what is known as a template approach to a contract of this nature, which is commonly used across industry for this purpose, with some modifications to suit our needs in relation to timeframes, payment, cost, contributions, making good, those sorts of details. But it's not the case that we, through tonight's process and consideration by elected members, that it is a taken, that there is no further opportunity by elected members to see that particular document.
Any follow-up, Councillor Crossan?
So just on that, Mr. Harrison, point B on page 103 makes it sound as if we are authorising the Mayor and the Chief Executive Officer to basically sign the lease. Am I misinterpreting what that says?
Page 101.
Yeah, sorry, excuse me. No, I think your reading and interpretation is correct. That is an authorisation, but I wouldn't suggest that's necessarily to the conclusion of any concerns or considerations that individual elected members may also have through that process as well. There certainly is, as has been outlined to some extent, there is a lot of consideration on multiple key aspects to be considered before council are going to be in a position to give approval to the construction of a building across the road. The lease is certainly focused on timeframes and a payment system, other things, but largely that's what it is about. But nothing can happen until it goes through the ordinary application processes to be approved. And obviously it has to meet all of the necessary criteria, some of those topics which have been also highlighted tonight as well.
I just want to add one thing to that, which is that on page 101, the provision or the proposed resolution that Councillor Crossland's referring to authorises the Mayor and the Chief Executive to confirm the lease, essentially. That allows us to do it. It doesn't force us to do it. And I can place on the record that I wouldn't sign it unless it was subject to planning approval, for example. I don't think that is clear in the report that we have tonight. When you think about it, on the other hand, I can't imagine the developer would want to continue if there wasn't going to be planning approval. But that planning approval is critical because that's what brings in all the considerations about traffic and parking and so on, where members of the public will have the opportunity to make representations, I might add. Councillor Crossland, anything arising from that?
Yeah, look, that was my concern, that we're already locked into allowing somebody to build a building, whatever it turns out to be, by signing a lease that we can't reverse because we'll be signing into a contract. And I just wondered if you're negotiating a contract subject to planning permission, whether or not we need be in there right now or whether it comes back to council when planning permission has been granted, but with addition of a traffic study we can look at and other things, because as we know, sometimes planning permission is granted by the state government or our CAT panel, but it may not be something that we ourselves would be comfortable in approving. That's just my concern. I just think we've lost a hold point by going straight to the authorizer's lease. I don't know if other members have the same concerns.
All right, yeah, same to strain to debate there, but anything arising from that, Mr. Harrison?
Through the chair, I think there is an obvious sequence of events, and I think there has to be an acceptance that if this project doesn't get development approval, the lease will become inconsequential. Now, if it's not quite explicit in the recommendation, sorry, through the chair, I accept that maybe we just need to put some additional wording around that.
And that was my point. If it's inconsequential, why don't we just take it out for the time being?
Sorry, Councillor Crossland, take what out?
Section B, where it's not even included in the motion. So you can do the negotiations subject to planning permission, and then if it does get planning permission, then it can progress to a lease, but it also gives elected members another hold point if there are anything has come up in that process that concerns us.
It sounds like an amendment which would have to be tested, and the only caution I bring into the matter is because, you know, I'm always very cautious when we're doing amendments on the run, so to speak. But the only thing I'm trying to think through is whether the developer actually wants to get the draft lease, at least the main terms of the lease, approved by council this evening in order to go through the arduous and very expensive process of developing a planning application. In other words, if council's not ready to proceed, why should they do any more work on it? That may be why that's in there. But I don't know, Mr. Harrison, are you able to shed any light on discussions about, you know, why it's taking that form?
Through the chair, if I can just refer members, elected members, please, to point two. I think there is a logical sequence here about continue to negotiate, agree final terms. Authorise the Mayor and Chief Executive to attest to a fixation for the 42 years. But I restate again, I don't think that has any material value unless subsequent to that, or maybe contemporaneous with it, there is some development application approval process as well. One has to go with the other, I would have thought.
All right, let's keep going with questions and Councillor Crossland can think about that. Councillor Vlescu. A point of order, Councillor Hull.
Wearing a mask and he's nowhere near the microphone. I can't understand that muffled.
Look, I'll uphold the point of order and just politely request Councillor Vlescu to speak near the microphone. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. No worries. Got a couple of things. First of all, I don't think people are understanding what Councillor Crossland's trying to say. First of all, I understand that they need
to order. We're actually in question mode at the moment.
Yeah, I'd like to clarify the question.
Okay, go on.
So first of all, can Okay, so Councillor Crossland asked about, really asking about whether we do have any other opportunities to have input on the final design or after it gets development approval, because development approval may not be opportune for addressing some of the concerns that council may have. So how could that happen? Is there an opportunity for this? Because from what you're saying, you need to have the lease in place for them to go for the approval, but is there an opportunity for us to actually sit with the community, with the developers, okay, this is what's been approved. These are some of the issues. Now, the development plan doesn't compel these issues to be looked at, but what can we do working with the developer to actually get something that is better if it needs to be?
So, two things. There's that informal discussion that is continuing between staff and the developer, but I hear what is being said. Councillors don't necessarily have control or oversight of that because that's operational. But this is where the advice of Mr. Della Coombs, I thought, was going to be useful, because it seems to me that if there's a green light to going ahead with the lease this evening, and I would expect that to be subject to development consent, and that then leads the developer to work up a development application, which, as I say, is a fairly extensive process and would require an independent traffic report at the very least. That will then either go to the independent assessment panel or potentially, as was indicated by Mr. Della Coombs, to the state planning assessment body. And I'm just using the generic names so that people understand what I'm talking about. Now, it seems to me that whether it goes to the local assessment panel or the state one, that council would have an opportunity to put in a submission about the development on council's land, apart from being a neighbouring landowner. So that's what I would like clarified, because I don't see anything that stops council from doing its own traffic and parking study and making submissions in relation to the development application when it comes forward, which is potentially another hold point. And so what I'm saying to management is, that's what I'm hearing members are concerned about, another review point before suddenly we turn around and say, you know, there's a new freeway going down the middle of the sports precinct or something silly. So can somebody please give us an answer to that? Just checking with Councillor Valescu and Crossland, is that the sort of track that you're going down with your questions briefly? Yeah?
It is from my point of view, but I just see that we don't get a lot of say in any planning application, very little. And if this is subject to planning approval being granted and then the lease is fully, the contract is made, I just see we're being locked in, even if during that process something comes up that as a group we're against, we can't do anything about it because we've signed a contract.
Well, Coombs, can you add anything at this point?
Thank you, Mayor. I will attempt. If I may, the point the Mayor made earlier about the lease being signed first, giving the developer a sense of security, I think is a worthwhile point, knowing that they've got some ability to move forward and expend those funds that you would need to create what I would put forward to be quite significant costs involved in the studies, given the scale of the project. The Mayor's right again that that development application, as I mentioned before, would be subject to public notification. And an assessment undertaken by Marion staff. We would, as we have done with a number of other projects, it's fairly standard practice that if council staff aren't satisfied with the level of detail that's provided by that study, or what I would suggest is the normal course of action for staff to be particularly management, have some level of conversation, particularly with ward members, about where the assessment was up to, that council could indeed request independent review, do its own review of those traffic studies. I think it's also worth pointing out that it's fairly standard in some contracts for, although the contract is signed, for it actually to become valid upon the granting of planning consent. So it is logical that this process be in this order, that it's agreed to tonight in this fashion, and allowing the planning process to commence, and on receipt of a decision, then that lease being active.
All right. So what I'm going to, having heard all of that, and sort of assessing that the management answers may not entirely answer the reservations expressed in those questions by councillors, I'm going to suggest to the mover and seconder that the motion just deal with the first two parts, that is the consultation and the land management plan. And that completely negates any locking in of a lease. Like, no, there's just no possibility of it because it would have to come back to council. And then the item that deals with the proposed lease can come back to the July meeting, which is a month away. And that gives time for the developer to clarify what work they've done so far on traffic and parking intentions. It's an issue that I've raised repeatedly with Mr. Harrison. So I believe it's on the table and under consideration. That might be the most, expedient way of getting this through. So I'll ask Councillor Telfer and Councillor Hutchinson, it is up to you, but what do you think about proceeding in that way?
Could we, even though we were working in block, go back, move the petition, accept that, move the 11.1, accept that, then we'd be in a better position to clarify that last section and its steps.
Yes, look, the moving on block is only a measure to save time when you're dealing with the one issue. But yes, if you would prefer to deal with each issue separately, it's your prerogative, and I've certainly opened up the question.
I think given the complexity of the discussion in terms of steps, it would be advisable to go back and to move the petition acceptance, that being 9.1 on page 25.
Yes, so just asking Councillor Hutchinson, you go along with that. And no one's objecting to that, I presume. So with the leave of the meeting, the mover is withdrawing the motion of three items on block and is moving just that first motion, which deals with the consultation. So Councillor Telfer, you've spoken to all three previously, but I'll give you the opportunity if you wish to highlight anything in relation to the consultation alone.
We have read the petition. We note that the 32 people that responded from the four streets north of the arena, and we accept their viewpoint and we bring that forward to you.
Councillor Hutchinson, anything? No, nothing on that. Anyone speaking against the motion in relation to receiving the petition? Councillor Hull has a question. Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I raised with the petitioner when I had the opportunity to ask a question about the pedestrian access. It seems nonsensical to me, Mr. Mayor, that we go to the length of stopping vehicular access in through that way, but ignore the possibility of car parking and the convenience of people walking straight through. Given that there's a fair bit happening on this site, the development in this precinct is not just...
You're asking a question, Councillor?
Yeah, we've got other things happening in the precinct. So parking and access and the visitation is something that we should have a strategic view on. So I just want to know what's the process in acknowledging that point and the public consultation involved in that?
Of course, the difference between vehicular and pedestrian access is that there currently isn't vehicular and there is currently pedestrian. Who would like to speak to that from management? Mr. Della Coombs.
Thank you. Through the chair, again, without seeing detailed plans, we don't really have a clear view on the access and movement with the site. I think certainly anything that we have reviewed to date does show a level of movement at a pedestrian base across the site. And it will be up to council, I guess, if they wanted to propose a motion that would acknowledge that in some way. Acknowledge the importance of the pedestrian link.
Well, okay, I'll just leave that there. Did you have any follow-up question, Councillor Hull? And I mean question.
Well, I don't think I had an appropriate answer to the last question I asked, but I'll leave it there.
All right. Anyone actually speaking against the petition recommendation? If not, then I'll simply put that motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So, Ms. Geldes, thanks for coming along this evening. We're not by any means finished yet, but what we've done there is officially noted the petitions, and the head petitioners will be advised formally of what we've done tonight. But by being here, you've obviously seen what's taken place. So now we move on to the next item, which is the community land management plan. I'll go back to Councillor Telfer.
So we are now looking at 11.1, page 31, we have a motion there about the community land management naming. It remains community land management, but it has a name specifically for that site. Also move.
That's moved and seconded, Councillor Hutchinson. Nothing to add. Then I'll ask if there's any opposition to the motion, Councillor Schilling.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm glad that we split the petition out because I didn't want to vote against the petition. I remain solely against this proposal, have done since the beginning, and I'm on the record. I support the idea of an arena, but I do not think the site where it is being proposed is the right site for it. And that is my reason for opposition. And I will continue to vote that way. And I don't think we should be adjusting the community land management plan to allow this development to happen on this site.
Is there anyone else in favour of the community land management plan change, Councillor Valescu?
I think that we need to do as much as we can to work with the community and work with the proponents of this to minimise the impact. And I think we need to start getting creative as well on some of those things, whether it's looking at how we can limit the pedestrian access, things like that. That's obviously got a process, but, things like looking at how we can better monitor the parking in those streets, it's a problem as it is. I also like to see that we, if there is an issue with the building, that it's brought forward to the front of the street to minimise that impact. So I think there's a whole lot of things and we need to do them probably a little bit beyond what the development plan lets. So I'd like to have that sincere commitment from council. But we need to, we've got an opportunity here. The wider population is something that they are in favour of. We do have some community land in a sports precinct, which has the opportunity to get a lot more use in a sports context. And at the moment, there's very little use of that land. So, it's actually providing more activity, providing more things for people to do. But we can't lose sight of the impact it will have. And we also need to be sincere in how we can mitigate that. So I think this is the first step, and I hope that when the rest of it comes to council, if it is going to wait till July, we can discuss some of those other issues and moving forward. So, you know, we can't have residents think that they're being ignored as far as issues that they raise, but we need to see, you know, where we can actually improve what's there for the community, but also try to mitigate some of these concerns.
Very well. Anyone else speaking against? Councillor Gard.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. I mentioned before that I personally am in favour of this project and the lease and everything that goes with it. However, I simply can't put my name to something that I don't believe has been professionally finished. And I take the point of Ms. V. Aldonetti that it was put to council as to what the survey design might be or the approach. However, I contest that it's good enough to give up when it's clear that the survey results have a very low significance. And it troubles me greatly in practice as to what is underlying this. I made the point in my email this morning that you get outliers that get too much weight in such light surveys at times. And I'm not saying it's happened this time, it may well have, but we don't know. And the point is, we don't know what the valued people of the particularly inner locations around the proposed centre actually think significantly, statistically. So we're only making a surmisal that given the couple of dozen people that live around the centre are sort of 50-50, that there's a general body of people that are in favour. And I think that is totally misleading thinking. So I have to vote against it as much as I don't want to.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the Community Land Management Plan? Councillor Clancy.
I'm confident that the issues that have been raised will be addressed as part of the normal planning process. So this is not saying, yes, this is going to happen. We'll be looking at traffic, open space, if any significant trees need to be removed, noise, the effects this will have on neighbours. This will all be part of the development applications. So that's why I support it.
Anyone else speaking against? Councillor Hull.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, like Councillor Gard, I do vote this way and speak this way with some regret. However, it's all part, I think, of a healthy consultation process, meaningful consultation process, rather than just trying to ram it through tonight, which almost happened. Mr. Mayor, I would like to know more information. I would like to know about those two trees, whether they are actually vulnerable to being removed. I think they're fair questions, and that is in the report. It's interesting that the people of Hallett Cove demonstrably feature in this report. I'd like to understand why that is so. Maybe it's because a glacier went through Hallett Cove many years ago. I'm not sure, but it's an oddity. It's an oddity. Why would the people of Hallett Cove be so vigorous about wanting this facility compared to other parts of the city that are much closer? That was quite remarkable. I would like to know about the energy efficiency. I'd like to see a lot of these points. You know, it's crazy to think that you would actually build a energy-consuming operation when you're paying so much for energy now. So maybe there's a natural answer for that. But members, by actually suggesting that we rely on the Development Code of South Australia to actually solve all our planning and community considerations, you've got to be joking. You've got to be joking. Tell the people up the road there that they've got the service station that's going to go ahead because of the Development Code. Prior to that, a unanimous vote by this council to say no. Think about it. Think about the relying on that. And Councillor Crosland's spot on. We need to actually impose our will on this on behalf of our community before it gets to that point, not after.
Thank you for that, Councillor Hull. I simply take issue, correct the record, that nobody's trying to ram through anything tonight. When we're talking about a consultation process that was approved by council, carried out by staff, and reported to council, with these papers having been available to councillors for a week or so to answer any questions. So the characterisation that staff or anyone else is trying to ram it through is unfair and inaccurate, and the chair will step in if there are inaccurate statements by any member. Point of order by Councillor Hull.
Point of order is, Mr. Mayor, the minutes will testify to my position on this, that it was moved on block. It was moved on block, and that's going to be in the minutes.
There's no point of order. Now, is there any other speaker in the debate? Then it goes back to Councillor Telfer to reply and close the debate. Thank you.
And the community land management plan is being amended for its suitability to a proposal that's come to us. We have this proposal come to us because the proposer has decided that this is the venue that is appropriate for what they're offering to do. We will work with all parties to try and make it as effective and worthwhile for everybody.
I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, this is just changing the community land management plan. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. The motion's defeated. Division's called by Councillor Hull. Those in favour, please stand. Oh, well, I only saw four hands go up. That, regardless of that, division's been called. Those in favour are councillors Falescu, Clancy, Pryor, Telfer and Hutchinson. You may sit down. Those against, please stand up. They are councillors Hull, Schilling, Duncan, Gard and Crossland. You may sit down. The motion is tied. When I look, it therefore comes to the mayor for a casting vote. When I look at the proposed changes to the land management plan and I see that they in no way lock in the development of an ice rink, but indeed create more flexibility for the recreational use of that land on Sturt Road, I'll vote in favour. So the motion is carried and will change the community land management plan. That then takes us to the proposed lease. Now, I'll look back to you, Councillor Telfer. Is this something that you want to defer to the next meeting or do you want to deal with it now?
I want to just move number one, notes the feedback received from the community consultation process has been considered by council members. That is all I'm now going to move.
Very well, thank you. The is that motion, well, did you, first of all, do you want to speak to that, Councillor Telfer?
I appreciate the nuances of what people have brought forward. I think that will help us in our steps forward. We can wait that little bit longer. So we just note that the community has been consulted and that over 170 people did reply and that we have a wide range of responses.
Is that seconded? Councillor Hutchinson, anything further to add? Anyone speaking against the noting of the consultation? Councillor Crossland.
Look, I don't think it goes far enough because the consultation that I'm looking at, number one, isn't representative of the nearby local residents. A lot of them are from the southern suburbs, Shido Park, Hallett Cove, From the way that the survey has been written, I usually put a lot of weight into the comments, but unless the person putting the comments stated that they lived in whatever suburb or street, the comments are irrelevant to me because it could be someone from another council area. So it's very difficult for me to vote to know I'm supporting the local residents or even Marion council residents. So to note the feedback, I'd note it, but note that it isn't representative of the local residents.
Are you moving an amendment or just speaking against?
Just speak against.
Thank you. Others speaking in favour of the consultation? Councillor Valescu?
A lot of people critical. We've seen some criticism in regards to the consultation process, but in order to get the 400 people or the processes involved, what will we need to do? And also, what are the responses we get for other things as well? Like, I guess I'd like to know that from staff.
That's a question. How does the 170 responses compare to other of our consultations, especially to do with major projects? Mr. Marway is going to come forward and answer that. I just bring councillors' attention to, is it page 125? There's a graph there separating out the responses of City of Marion residents and then all participants as a comparison with their answers yes or no, essentially. So that that distinction is made in the responses, but I acknowledge that you don't have yeses and noes for each particular suburb. So Mr. Marway, talking about the number of responses to major project consultations in other cases?
Through the chair, without having the figures in front of me, I would say they're strong numbers in comparison to consultations that we do. I would also say that all of the local residents to this site received that letterbox drop. So bar us door knocking, I can't think of a better way we could be engaging face-to-face. We could invite them to, you know, we have already invited personally in letterboxes. So it is a tricky one to get everyone engaged and taking part in the consultation in that local area.
Right. Carrying on with Councillor Valescu's contribution.
You know, is it standard practice to get, you know, your McGregor Tans and people like that in for this sort of thing? And then obviously, how does that sort of carry across? We have to do that with everything.
Smiley.
To that cost.
Through the chair. Yes, that is a possibility. That would incur costs. So we would then need to have budgets for every consultation. That includes a third party market research firm to undertake that for us.
Have you finished your contribution, Councillor Valescu?
Look, I think it's disappointing at this stage that people aren't even... That the report is not even accepted. I think that if there are concerns about the actual project, let's go through those. I just think that, you know, we need to focus on those issues. And if they're if it's not possible for some of those issues to be fixed to member satisfaction, then fair enough. You know, I can understand that not everyone's going to vote for it, but I don't think we're there yet. So I really think it's important that we, proceed and get that information, because it is something that, will revitalise the area. It will be an opportunity for people living in the City of Marion. And I think a lot of the people that are going to benefit, the local people, probably aren't going to be aware of that benefit until it's there. So I think it's important for us to move forward in a considered manner, but not to discount things off the cuff.
Anyone else speaking against the noting of the community response? Councillor Gard.
Yes, notwithstanding what has been said by others, I believe that it's not a proper consultation process that we've been through. It's not complete. It's not significant enough. It's ridiculous to compare it, with all due respect to those that do, it's ridiculous to compare it with other consultations which are also well short of the mark, I note. And many times around this chamber, I have addressed people on the necessity to be front foot and be prepared to spend money in order to protect the interests of our residents at large. We are not doing that. So I'm going to vote against this on the basis that I deny that it's actually a complete consultation process.
Anyone else speaking in favour of noting the community responses? Then if not, then it's back to Councillor Telfer to conclude the debate in response.
We have moved through some steps. We have a report in front of us with lots of data. We can, from this, take other steps and formulate where we go to get a better outcome. I so move.
A move to note the community feedback in relation to the lease proposal. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. The motion is tied, comes to the mayor for a casting vote. I can't see any problem in principle with noting the community response. So I vote in the affirmative and the motion is carried. So we can, now those who were here in the gallery for the, let's say the ice rink matters generally, we're moving on to our annual budget now. You're free to go if you wish. We'll be here for another couple of hours. If you want to stay on, you're most welcome. So is it page 169, maybe? 167. Very good. 169, that's what I said. We've got the old ones. Now, this is another matter where I bring it to your attention that there are four related sets of recommendations. We could possibly move them en bloc. That would be acceptable, but you don't have to. First, I'll take notifications of conflicts of interest. So I've got Councillor Schilling with a perceived conflict of interest. Ms. McKenzie confirms that's noted. Councillor Telfer has a perceived conflict of interest, which she has explained. Councillor Valescu has a perceived conflict of interest, cap in relation to a property. Did I see Councillor Hutchinson's hand go up? Was that to move something, was it? Very well, go ahead.
Well, I'll move on block and Councillor Schilling can second.
Did you wish to speak any further, Councillor Hutchinson?
Not at this point. I think we've. I don't think I have any questions related to the budget.
Very well. So I highlight. I'm just advised that the very latest valuations are have just come in, and they're on the screen. Perhaps I'd better ask Mr. Barnwell, is there anything significant in what we've previously seen in these particular valuations?
Through the chair, thank you. We get the final valuations on overnight on Sunday night before the council meeting, and it's customary that we update those final valuations as we do in the report before we actually adopt them. So that these are the very latest updated valuations. It has no other impact on the budget from there.
Very well. I'll go back to Councillor Schilling, who wishes to second those motions. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yep, I'd like to second, and I'll speak briefly. Members, we have discussed the budget in depth for the last couple of months. If you still have questions, you should have done it by now.
Anyone speaking against? Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have asked questions, and that's what's for my...
Carry.
Yeah, I have asked questions, and that's what's for my position tonight. Now, I assume the figures that Mr. Barmore provided me today in terms of the number of people, properties between 5 and 10% below the cap is still the same.
Mr. Barmore.
Through the chair, yes, that's still great.
So from memory, I think it was about 15,000 properties. Yes?
Less.
Less than that. Just bear one second.
Well, I'm just trying to find your email.
It's 8,129. I'm sorry, it's 5,831.
5,000. Yeah. Still a lot of people, a lot of properties. You know, whilst we might go out and beat our chest about having a 2% average rate increase and compare ourselves with other councils, there is that hidden and unspoken penalty for those 5,000 odd properties. And that is that they'll be paying above CPI. And I believe CPI is what, 4.4, something like that at the moment?
To the chair, 4.7%.
4.7?
For Adelaide.
So they'll be paying above CPI. Given the equity, lack of equity with that Councillor Gard has often mentioned, I appreciate Councillor Gard. I appreciate Councillor Gard's questions about mitigating the rate in the dollar as opposed to the property values. That's what's led me to this position, Mr. Mayor, if it was truly, as we portray it, a 2% rate increase, and everybody thought that that's what was going to happen, I'd be a lot more comfortable about it. The irony is that over the last number of years in this council term, we've even had a zero rate increase and a minor rate increase last year, 1% I think it was. The reality is that we actually provided those measures during COVID because we were concerned about the people's ability to pay under hardship. Well, the reality is now that with rocketing costs, and I appreciate that we have to absorb some of that ourselves as a local government authority, we're actually going to add to the burden of the costs with our community, particularly those people that actually have had their property values increased through no fault of their own, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. Anyone else speaking in favour? Councillor Bilescu. Yeah.
Question, first of all, how many people are going to get less than the average and negative? What's the percentage there?
Councillor Valescu, in a way you can work it out. If 15 to 20% of people are paying more than rate of inflation, then the converse, 85% probably paying less than the rate of inflation. But
Mr. Barnwell? Yeah, get the figures.
Through the chair, they're below that 5%. There's probably about 71% of the population paying by rates below that 5% mark.
I defer to Mr. Barnwell.
Just the other question. So if that cap was to drop, and if people are proposing, I'm out of here, does that mean that those people's rates will actually go up?
Mr. Barnwell?
If we were to drop the cap, and we wouldn't be adopting the rates tonight if we did that, because you have to recalculate and recalibrate the whole rates modelling. So that cost, which would jump from, I don't know if you're going to drop from 10 to an 8%, it would jump from 360 to... So the extra cost involved in reducing that cap will get distributed across everybody else.
So... That, yeah, just to underline that minority proportion would pay less, but more people would pay more. And under that scenario that you've just hypothetically outlined, I'm not saying preferred, but outlined, Councillor Valescu.
Just through the chair, can I just quickly point out some of those properties in the above that 5%, some of those properties would have been properties that have had developments too, so they wouldn't even be entitled to the cap anyway. So if you had a vacant land block, for instance, at 300,000, you develop a property and it's worth 800,000, you're going to be in the higher, you'll be in that above 5% range for sure. So it does include developed property. So there is growth in there as well.
Anything, Councillor Lesko, anything else?
Personally, I'm fortunate enough, I'm not well off, but I'm fortunate enough that, you know, a rate rise significantly above CPI isn't going to be, you know, have the impact that it will on other people. But, you know, people's assets have gone up in value and that does improve their paper situation. I'm quite happy not to have the cap. But I think we need to look at the whole budget. And I think it's really good that the council has actually worked through this over time. You know, we've had the various opinions. We've looked at different points and we've worked through that. We've made some changes and, we've achieved a modest increase compared to other people, compared to CPI. And I think, you know, we have locked in a few challenges for ourselves, but hopefully we won't be cutting services that the community wants in the future, and we can look at some savings. And the most important thing is for us to work with other councils to save on duplication, to take on contracts and work together so we can actually get those economies of scale. I think that's the way to go. That's your lower hanging fruit. They're the opportunities. People talk about amalgamation. You can get the benefits of amalgamation without actually having to worry about all that other stuff. So I think that's going to be the way forward, and it's about working together. And I think we've demonstrated this pretty well within the council chamber to get where we are today.
Thank you. Anyone else speaking against the budget? A question? Sure, Councillor Crossland.
Sorry, Mr. Barnwell, it's a question for you on the same vein. Looking at page 275, I see some valuations in a lot of suburbs have dropped. Are they suburbs where we're likely to see their council rates drop? And in other suburbs, I'll pick Marino to make Councillor Guard's day. I see that the percentage of rates coming from Marino has gone up from 2.97% of the total council rates to 3.13. Is that an indication that those people are likely to be the ones having an increased rate above 2%?
Through the chair, if your valuation, in simple terms, if your valuation increases by less than the average increase, you will have a lower than average increase in your rates. So if your valuation increased by on page 275, you're talking about the actual rate revenue for the suburb, right? That we're talking about.
The previous page might be more helpful.
Yeah, that particular page, that also reflects the volume of properties and houses. So if the properties house up in, say, that's the total amount of revenue extracted from those particular suburbs. So it's not necessarily reflective on the increase or decrease in the valuations. I think, as the Mayor pointed out on the previous page, on page 274, if your valuation, so the average valuation residential is 23.94, if your valuation, and that includes growth, by the way, of 1%, so some of those properties have a lot of growth in them as well. So if your valuation goes up by less than the average, you will have a lower than an average rate increase. But if it's above the average valuation increase, you will pay more than the 2%. That's essentially what happens.
So on that, yep. So with that in mind, so on page 274, if anyone's unfortunate enough to have a house in O'Halloran Hill, their rates have gone up 51.5%.
Through the chair, I'll just explain that one. There was 27 vacant properties in that particular suburb. 21 of those have gone from vacant to residential. So that's what that increase is. It's actually growth.
So therefore, it's difficult to pin it down to an individual homeowner because you don't know what's happened on that block. Councillor Crossland, it's your opportunity to speak or ask a final question. Councillor Guard, you had your hand up. Was that for a question?
I just wanted to ask if we could put the units, I think it should be in thousands at the top of the rate revenue by suburb. Is that right, Mr. Barnwell? There's no indication on page, is it 275, that as to what those figures are, whether they're millions or billions or...
So the total rate revenue on page 275, the third column, and that's actual dollars, so that the total rates levy would be $84.4 million. And that's the distribution across the suburbs there where you collect that revenue.
Oh, sorry. Yes, no.
Yeah. When it says dollars, it's dollars. It's okay.
Dollars. Yes, sorry.
That's all right. Any other questions?
The capital values, I guess the same applies there, doesn't it? It's their actual, they are actual dollars, I guess. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Was it a question, Councillor Pryor?
It was indeed. Mr. Barnwell, can you tell us what CPI is currently? Current CPI data for Adelaide?
He said 4.7%.
4.7% is the current CPI.
Thank you. All right. Any other questions? If not, I think we're just about set, but I'll give Councillor Hutchinson the right of reply if there is anything. There is nothing. All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority. Thank you. A division is called on the budget. Four aspects, four motions. All those in favour, please stand. You get a bit of exercise. Those in favour of the budget this year, Councillors Valescu, Clancy, Pryor, Telfer, Hutchinson, Schilling, Duncan, Gard and Crossland. You may sit down. Those against the budget this year, Councillor Hull. So the motion... Oh, let me see. The motion's carried. So we do have a budget in place. Mr. Barnwell's looking relieved already.
Thank you.
And we move on. So page 321 or around there, Oaklands Green Road closures. This is it? Tell me if I'm on track. So this is the new development people would remember between Morfitt Road and the Oaklands Reserve and the railway. This is basically a roads reconfiguration to suit the new development. So, Councillor Hutchinson, moving as recommended.
Yeah, moving as recommended.
Is that seconded? Councillor Duncan, thank you. Anything to add? Anyone against? A question, Councillor Valescu.
Bring how that will help. Cause any issues with policing in the area, closing those roads and access if required?
I think it might be a matter of some doors open, some doors closed, but who can speak in more detail about that? Mr. Della Coombs is going to come forward, just talk about the implications of getting around the suburb once the changes are put into place, perhaps the rationale for the closures.
Thank you for the question through the chair. So there is an overall sense of the precinct plan that the suburb will function as good or as the same as at least now operates. And this particular report tonight is not actually closing road access. So you can see from the plans there that this is really small portions of road, some tens of square metres of roads that are actually just being used as corner cutoffs to improve sight lines and the traffic management of this particular area. So this is being done on a stage-by-stage process with some level of confidence from staff at each interval on this moving forward. So it's just a really small portion that has been done and consulted on that has been resolved and will enable the land division process to proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Delacombs. Anything more from Councillor Vescu? No? Any other questions? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you. We move on to page 346, I think. I'm available on that date in October for the LGA AGM, I presume Councillor Hutchinson is. So motions before you. Councillor Telfer to move, seconded Councillor Pryor. Any debate, Councillor Hull?
Mayor, if there was another resolution from another council, it won't be from us, obviously, but if there was a resolution from another council in regards to a climate change emergency motion, just like the one adopted by the South Australian government the other day, on our behalf, which way would you vote?
Well, of course, with all of these things, it depends on the wording of the motion. What I would love to do is take in the report that we're about to deal with next, our actions in relation to climate change, and to show every other council in South Australia how much we're doing. That's what I would like to do. Councillor Hull?
Yeah, that doesn't help at all. Thank you.
Sorry, you know I try to help everyone. If there are no other questions, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? I think that's carried unanimously. Very well. We are on to corporate reports for informational noting. Notwithstanding there might be questions, etc. Again, we might want to move those en bloc. It's up to you, Councillor Bilescu.
Motion on page 353 or 351, depending on which edition you have.
All right, let's deal with the climate change report. Yes, go ahead.
I think it's good that we've outlined what we're doing. And I do note that even though Council didn't partake in the climate action now, that there was the opportunity through the Green Times, spelt as in Times for the Herb, where that initiative was promoted. So it actually was available to some I think it was 5,000 from memory that might have had access to that. So I think it's, you know, council is involved in some of these things, you know, maybe not explicitly, but we are supporting these grassroots campaigns. And what we've got here is some actual concrete examples. And I think that's what people want. You know, the symbolism, I guess, is important for people to think that, you know, it's an issue, you know, that needs to be, people need to be made aware of, but really it's the changes. And I think sometimes, and I'm not saying that this is the approach taken by our activists in our area, because, you know, the people I've spoken to are kind-hearted and quite reasonable. But when you've got situations like you have the people gluing themselves to the street, they turn people off. And I think we need to get away from the symbolism and work on the action on this stuff, because regardless of how people vote, you know, what they believe about climates and things like that, we're all going to be affected. You know, we're all going to suffer food shortages. There's going to be issues with livability, all these things. And we really need to work together, not get caught up in the symbolism and the semantics, but take that action and bring people on board and bring people with us on the journey. And I think that's what this council is doing. And it's good to see that they're looking how they can do more in that space.
Anyone want to second noting what council's doing? Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, absolutely. Very happy with the progress on these aspects of council. I guess there's one other thing that I'd like to highlight, and the highlight is that this is a really rapidly changing space. I mean, what is not viable today may be viable tomorrow, and I think it's important that we keep looking at this with a really open mind. You know, I guess from my perspective anyway, I'd like to keep investigating the options for climate action, for things that council can do to become more climate friendly and more climate neutral and those sorts of things. So I keep pushing that team along. So well done to the team who's putting these actions together and executing these actions. And let's keep seeing where we can go. Thank you.
Well said. Anyone against noting what we're doing? Then I'll put the motion. Councillor Hull had the hand up. Yes, sorry. Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, I don't agree with the mover and seconder. I vehemently suggest that we're not doing enough. Members, if you read the report, it's interesting. It talks about the Marion Living Smarties and using them as an example of what we're doing within our community. The irony is, Mr. Mayor, that whilst the Conservation Council were the ones that put to us the climate action program to us to adopt, which we didn't, it was the Marion Living Smarties that contacted me to actually promote it. And yet we're actually using them as an example in the report. So you can imagine how this is going over well with that particular group. Can I also point out in the report, it talks about our actions. Now, if you actually read this, it's really interesting reading in terms of the carbon sequestration. That, you know, we're doing that. But I can look over there as well. We didn't actually go ahead with it, but we actually got it as a highlighted in the report as one of our achievements. But we talked about it, but we didn't go ahead with it. We pulled the pin on it. And then down the next one, environmental sustainability update. Yeah, that committee I'm on, we got a report. There was no action. So those two dot points that we're actually hanging our hat on, there's no action attached to it. Now, Mr. Mayor, I would actually draw our attention to our neighbour, the Mitcham Council, and what they're doing there. A number of electric vehicles in their fleet. Adelaide City Council today, I walked past a number of their vehicles sitting in Flinders Street. But what have we got? Mr. Lyons has been talking to me about this for a number of years now. So, look, I think that we're a laggard in local government with climate change action. And I'll end on that note.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. Anyone else want to speak in favour? The mover has an opportunity to reply, if warranted.
I will be quick. I think that in this debate, we need to make sure that we don't take an absolutist agenda, that if everything doesn't tick the boxes as an individual may see fit, that we don't discount everything that we do. That doesn't bring people on board. That doesn't create a broad consensus, and it doesn't move forward. And I think this is what we need to do, because we need to understand that not everyone's going to agree with this stuff. We need to get as many people on board, and we don't do it by criticising people and negating what's being done based on the fact that every box isn't ticked. And as far as electric vehicles go, I think the people that are using hybrid vehicles are actually doing more for carbon emissions at this stage than those using purely electric. So I think that, you know, that's something we need to be aware of as well. We need to look at the life cycle. There's a whole lot of challenges, and we won't work on those challenges when we're disagreeing amongst ourselves, because, you know, it's, people are 7 out of 10 environmental as opposed to 9 out of 10. So that's the thing I'd like to stress.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. It's carried by majority. Division's called by just about everybody. I think. Councillor Hull can have the privilege. Those in favour, please stand. They are Councillors Valescu, Clancy, Pryor, Telfer, Hutchinson, Schilling, Duncan, Gard and Crossland. You may sit down. Those against, Councillor Hull. The motion is carried. Thank you. So now we've got the Work Health and Safety and Finance reports. You may wish to move that on block. Thank you. Done. And seconded, Councillor Schilling. Thank you. Any questions, then I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you. We now have two items in a confidential session. We normally have them earlier in the agenda, but we left them to the end because of the ice rink issue, and there was public interest, obviously, so those matters were moved forward. There is clearly reason for confidentiality in terms of commercial issues with both of those matters. If somebody wants to move both of the confidentiality reports on block, thank you, Councillor Crossland. Moved as printed. Seconded, Councillor Pryor. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Yes, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. So we will now go to the City Services surplus land question. And Ms. McKenzie will check that only those officers who are listed remain in the room. Thank you. And we'll be turning off microphones and closing the door temporarily. Thank you.